Welcome to the next episode of Dot Game. In this episode, we're going to continue our inventory and store system project by building out the UI for our inventory system. We're not really going to do any coding in this episode. This is all going to be UI focused. We're going to go over the different components, or not all of them, but a good amount of the different components that Unity provides, and give kind of a bit of a foundational knowledge so you can go and explore the UI system on your own and build off of it. So I guess with that, let's go ahead and get started. I have our project right here, which is the same kind of RPG project, of course, that we've been working on. And what we're going to do, I'm just going to jump into it. We're going to start to build out the UI. So I've already imported in some of the sprites and things that we're going to be using. Nothing super fancy. Or anything. I made a couple of coins for our currency, and then some background stuff. So we'll use that for now to kind of build it up. So to start building the UI, you can just right click in your hierarchy, go to UI, and then you can see there's a lot of different kind of options of game objects that have various components on them. For the UI to work, you always need a canvas. So I'll just start out by creating that, and you can see a few things happened. This weird white line popped up, and more interestingly, if we pop this into 2D, which I find to be very useful when you're doing UI specific stuff, and if I push the F button, it'll zoom out to kind of view the whole area. So this is basically our entire canvas, which as you can see is significantly larger than our little guys over in the corner. And that's because when you're doing UI stuff, you have a few different choices. You can act in world space, which would basically have us popping up stuff in front of our people down there. So maybe like if you did some damage or you hit something, you'd have like a little damage thing that popped up. That'd be more world space. Or you can work in screen space overlay and a few screen space overlay and screen space camera. So right now this is set up for screen space overlay. And basically what that means is that the canvas and the UI elements are going to scale to fit the screen. So they'll be rendered directly without any reference to the camera, and they're going to be rendered over scene objects. So if we were looking at our game window and say we wanted to have maybe some icons or an ability bar or something down at the bottom, we'd probably do screen space overlay so that it's always on top of everything that's being rendered. That's the version that we're going to use for our store. We want to guarantee that it's always rendered above. Under render mode, there's the two other that I kind of briefly mentioned. So there's screen space camera, and this is rendered as if it was drawn on a plane at an object some distance from the camera. So it'll also scale with screen size, or the resolution or the camera frustum, probably pronounced that word incorrectly. But once those are changed, this will also adjust it. And scene objects that are closer to the camera than the UI itself is will be rendered in front of the camera. So this doesn't have that guarantee of always being rendered over. And then world space I kind of described earlier. It's very useful in the sense of like doing damage or things that you kind of want to pop up in world space. It doesn't need to face the camera. You can orient it in any direction, and scene objects can be behind it, in front of it, even pass through it. So this offers a little bit more flexibility if you're trying to display text and kind of more of a dynamic game integrated type of way. So I typically use either screen space overlay or world space. I was trying to think before the show of a time where I used the camera and I couldn't come up with that. I'm guessing there's a couple scenarios where I have, but definitely screen space overlay and world space are the two more constant or common ones for me. Okay, so taking a look down, so Pixel Perfect basically just enables rendering without anti-aliasing. The other stuff's pretty self-explanatory. Sort order is if you had multiple canvases, you could basically order how they view, or order their sorting. I'm trying to find an explanation without the word sorting. You can basically provide the order in which they appear. So you could say like one is foreground, background kind of thing. So you could say like one is behind the other one type of thing. Okay, so looking at the next component, we have Canvas Scaler. So this one defines basically how the canvas is scaling. So we're actually gonna set this to scale with screen size. But the constant pixel size. It basically means that UI elements will retain the same size in pixels regardless of screen size. Scale with screen size is that they'll become bigger the bigger the screen is, and smaller the screen is. And then constant with physical size is that basically maintains the same physical size regardless of the screen or the resolution. So again, we're going to go with screen size. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're just going to set the resolution. So this is our reference. So we're going to go 1920 by 1080 as our reference resolution. And basically, you can kind of set these different behaviors. The one that I find the most useful is match width or height. And basically, what that means is when the resolution is being switched, it's going to try to match the width and the height of the resolution to figure out what the right scaling is for the components. And when that happens, you can see this match match property. And so this is how much it tries to match it. If you do 0.5, then it matches it equally. 0 and 1 have slightly different behaviors. So you really kind of just want to play around with this to see what works for the resolution and the screen size that you're working with. And then I guess that's really the bulk of it. The last one is the graphic raycaster, which was also added to this. And so this is basically needed to do a raycast against the canvas, which we've already talked about. So I'm not going to dive into the raycast, but if you're unfamiliar, go check out the first navigation. That's where we introduced raycasting and actually code one up. But basically what it does is it looks at all of the graphics on the canvas and then determines if anything has been hit. So just make sure that your canvas kind of has really all three of these if you're creating the game object from scratch for whatever reason. All right, so that's a quick overview. Actually, before I forget, so that's an overview of the canvas. The other thing is when I created the canvas, this event system got added. So this will automatically get added the first time that you, I think, create any UI component. I've encountered a time where it wasn't there. I think it was just accidentally deleted by somebody who was working on the project. But the purpose of this is that it's basically required to interact with the UI. So if for some reason you've started to build the UI, you've got your buttons hooked up, everything's looking good, you're clicking, nothing's happening, the very first thing that I check is to make sure that the event system is in your project. Just because, again, if it's not, then things aren't going to work, and going down the rabbit hole of other troubleshooting is kind of pointless. So something to keep in the back of your mind. So let's get started. So user interface, we'll call this canvas. Apologize, I'm having a bad typing day, apparently. Okay, so to start, what we're going to do is we're going to add a panel. I'm also going to change this into 16 by 9. So you can see the panel spanned the entire height and width of my canvas. And that's why when we're looking at this game screen, you can kind of see that overview, because again, it's over the entire screen. We don't actually want it to be this big, so we can mess around with the rect transform properties to get a behavior that we're looking for. So rect transform is basically the UI or the 2D version of the transform component. So I think originally I had said all game objects have a transform. I guess the caveat to that is, except for UI elements, in which case they have a rect transform. But it basically exists on all objects, regardless, game objects, if you will, regardless of if they're UI or not. They'll just have a different variation of it. So basically what you have are, you have anchors and pivots. So I guess before I jump into that, you've got these settings that will change. So left, top, right, and bottom. And if we were to kind of mess with these, let me give you a bigger, you can see that bringing it in kind of pulls it. So we can basically define, if you define the left, top, right, or bottom, you can bring them in by a certain amount, or even expand them technically by an amount larger than really what their border is for the entire component, which has its uses. If we click on this area, I don't know what you'd call that, this box area over here. You can see there's a couple different. So you can basically set the pivots and also set the positioning. And so these are really your positioning, and whether or not you're defining the top, left, bottom, or right depends on how you've got your pivot set. Because we have this set to stretch in its entirety, we're working with those properties. But if we were to change it to, say, this middle one, you'll notice that it's got position X, Y, Z, and then we have a width and a height that we can define. So these will shift in how you define it depending on how you've got really kind of your anchor presets set up, as well as really your pivot point. So just something to keep kind of in the back of your mind. Now, I'm sure you're probably wondering what in the world anchors are. And basically, an anchor is a way to kind of set up how something will expand. So if you see these, I think we can kind of zoom in, these little, hopefully you can see that, little triangle things. These are essentially the anchor points. You can kind of see a little bit of a, a little bit of an adjustment in these numbers. So we're kind of defining, hey, parent of mine, this is the space in which I want to kind of live, and I want to adjust as you adjust. And I know that probably sounds confusing, so let's put this into practice and you can kind of see what I'm talking about. So for our anchors, what I want to do is, see, we're going to do 0.3, 0.15. You can kind of see the things moving around here, 0.7 and 0.85. So we've kind of defined the area, but we can see the kind of gray window isn't really fitting that. So that's because you actually have to zero out these numbers to basically say, I want you to fit in that area. And if we wanted it to expand, again, we could kind of work with adjusting it however we want. That does have some implications as you start to work with scaling, and it can have some weird behaviors, so just be careful when doing that. Now, pivot. So pivot is interesting in that it primarily impacts the rotation point, and it affects how the expansion can occur. So as I was describing, as the scaling shifts, you need to, the content will expand. So the scenario, let's say, of the UI elements are automatically resizing to fit their contents. If the pivot position was set to like the top left, so all four of these things were up here, it would say to expand, I think it's down and to the right, versus if you're in the middle, it expands each way equally. So the pivot can kind of affect that. So again, it's one of those areas where you have to play around with it or really kind of go and read to make sure that you're getting the right effect that you want. And it doesn't apply in all scenarios, or at least in my experience. It has to do with whether or not you have a specific component on your game object that's handling how it expands. So there's weird little caveats to it, but just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind. Okay, so with the panel, what you'll see as I go through and build out this UI, I like to start out with panels because they're really basic game objects that come with just an image that's set up right away. So I use it to kind of see what space it is that I'm interacting with on the screen. And then a lot of times after I'm done, I'll just come back and delete this off and have like an empty game object or something that's kind of helping me build out my hierarchy. So I jump around a little bit, but I found that to be a very useful workflow. Now, if you do actually want the image set up, you can change the source image here, which I want UI background. So I've made this really simple kind of background. You can see it's semi-transparent, and that's just because of the coloring. So remember, I think I showed this with the little circle thing, but you can kind of change the coloring. So we really just want the alpha to be, it stays as white, but the alpha to be up all the way, and then we're going to get a clear view of it. So that's our panel, and we're going to call this store. So I'm building this in a way initially where I can have, for the user interface, so there's overall canvas. If I want, I could have, you know, multiple things that we kind of toggle behind, or I could technically have multiple canvases. You can build it, you know, really either way, but for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to build it this way, where we kind of have one overall UI canvas. All right, so jumping into the UI, the next thing I want to do is add a header. And we can kind of do this. So you can drag these points around, which is useful. Sometimes they can be very difficult to pick up, though. The other thing is if you hold down the control button and you click on one of them, you can actually move the entire
range. So if you have your positioning a little bit off for some reason, but you have like the sizing right, that can be super helpful. If you just want to move the points, no control button, and just click and drag. I find that sometimes if they're lined up with this, you end up dragging the wrong one. So I'll just move this off and then be able to grab it. And then I just zero out to kind of catch the weird thing. So I set that, but I actually had numbers for these. Let's see. All right. So again, we'll zero. So this is our header. Oops. Oh, I guess my numbers were a little off. And whatever, that's good enough. I end up getting a little carried away with this, in that I will just kind of try to design and design. So I pulled in a couple of fonts. You can change. Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently, I do this so much, I kind of forgot to talk through part of this. So when I added the text UI element for the header, it added a text component. You can change the text. You can, of course, set the font. And I think the font I wanted was this one. And then you can change the style, so all the typical stuff that you would run into. A couple of interesting things here, though, is you can define the overall layout. So there's this thing called best fit. So I'm going to go ahead and click that. You can basically define a min and max size. So what this means is as the UI or is scaled down for whatever reason, it'll pick the font, the highest amount of font that it can use while meeting your requirements. And your requirements are the overflows stuff. So if I bump this up to 50, actually, so you see what it's at 50. Let's go 100. Oh, I didn't actually expect that. There we go. So if we go to 100, I don't think it's actually at it. And if I do overflow or horizontal, oops, okay, let's try testing some stuff. So you can see as it overflows, it's able to go off of it. But if I change it to wrap, then it knows that it kind of wants to wrap inside of it, and it's going to scale it down. So it'll pick the best font in terms of best fit, depending on how you have these set up. But again, in certain scenarios, that can look a little bit off. For example, as we start to lay out the UI elements, if we did the best fit for like our description text, for the longer descriptions, they're going to be smaller text, and for the shorter descriptions, they'll be a little larger, which gives this really weird feeling to the UI of things just not being aligned. So it's one of those areas that you probably use sparingly, but it can be useful. So that being said, I think, what is it, 20? I'm just surprised that it's letting me go this high. Yeah. All right, we'll just do 50. And then you can change the color of your font, of course. For some reason, it's not wanting to grab. Where are we? There we are. And the other nice thing that Unity has is a few interesting components, I guess. So one of them is outline. Basically what it does, you can kind of see it added like a black outline around it. I find this to be useful in some scenarios for having a white outline. And you can define the size of it. If you go, in my experience, anything larger than 2, you can see the edges of it start to peel apart, which is a nice effect in certain scenarios, but for most of what I've done, at least, it's the closer that you look or the larger it is, just the worse it kind of gets. So again, it's one of those scenarios where you gotta play and see what works. Okay, so I'll change this to header. I think this actually looks a little off, but that's okay. So the next thing I want to add is a scroll view. Sorry, I was thinking. Yeah, so the scroll view. So this is a very helpful component that Unity provided before. You used to have to kind of build this thing out on your own, and it could just be a pain. It was one of those things I had to go and look up every time because I always missed like one section of it and it wouldn't work right. But basically what this is it's a scroll view. So you can set up the settings. There's actually quite a bit. I'm not going to go over them all. Let me make this thing small. But you can kind of work with the settings to get various movement types for scrolling. You can also provide different masks to affect like what data is shown. So there's a lot of different things that you can do to play with this. But the core behind it is it's basically a window where you can add elements and it'll scroll when there are more elements than what it can show on the screen, which is what we want in the scenario of store items when each storekeeper could vary in what they have. So for us, there are a couple things that we don't need. Actually, I think I'll keep these for now. So you can also theme this a little bit too, which we'll do towards the end. We can change the bars to be different colors. We're actually going to end up hiding this bottom bar. But for now, I think I'll leave it how it is, and we'll just come back and clean it up at the very end. So under the viewport here, we can do a few things. So right now, the way that it behaves, it's not going to tile anything. And that's because it doesn't really know that it needs to. And so there's a few components that you can add to make this behave. So the first is content size fitter. And I'm adding this to the content viewport because this is the ultimate place that you're going to put the things that the scroll view is looking at. So these are really just kind of general hierarchy things that help with it. These bottom two are essentially your scroll bars, and then content is where everything goes that you want to show. So you can start out by adding a content size fitter components, which basically controls the size of, I was thinking I put that in the wrong spot. Yeah, so it basically controls the size of its own layout element. So for vertical fit, we want it to be min size. And then the other component that we want to add is vertical layout group. So this one is quite fun. It's actually quite handy. So there's vertical layout group and there's horizontal layout group. And so for the vertical, because we want things to tile vertically and not horizontally, that's why I've picked this. But if you wanted to go the other way, then you'd probably want to pick the vertical and then you'd want to probably swap your things around. But with this, you can basically define as things tile how you want it to look. So I'm going to leave these properties empty for a second so I can show you them. So we'll ignore padding for a split second and spacing. And let's take a look at the child element. So basically what this does, it places them on top of each other and allows you to kind of set the control size. So if we do the width and the height, this is basically saying that for the child control size, that it will also control the children, essentially. For child force expand, this is defining whether or not it's going to cause the child object to expand in width and height for whatever the remaining elements are. And so that basically means if we had just one item here and we had both of these checked, especially height, it would make it as large as this. Versus if we didn't, if we said, hey, we don't want you to expand the height, we're going to control that on our own, which is actually what we're going to do, then we would be responsible for doing that on our elements that get added into this, which, again, we have done. And then child alignment is basically, I mean, it's where the child game objects or how they align within it. So we do want upper left. So that being said, so I'm gonna save. I went ahead and I created a couple of prefab UI elements. And I did this really just using the same techniques that we just went over in terms of the spacing and the components. I think there's maybe a couple components here that I'll have to talk to because we didn't really cover them. But for the most part, it's the same exact techniques that we just used. It just kind of saved you having watched me play around with it. So if I drag this in, see, it even looks like it might be a little squished here. But that's okay. So it's a little blurry, unfortunately. I think, yeah, so one of the things with Unity and font and UI and font is that sometimes it can be very difficult to get a crisp, clear looking font. And what I've noticed is this I can actually get to look pretty good I actually ended up having to switch out the fonts that I used after going down this long path of trying a whole bunch of different little hacks to try and get it to look good. What I've unofficially decided is how crisp your font looks, while other factors in terms of like the different hacks play a part, it definitely seems like it has to do with the type of font that you use. So all of the settings being the same as they were, I used a completely different font for the header and then another font for this inner text, and it looked really, really bad, super blurry. And I went and I found some different fonts, swapped them out, changed nothing else, and it instantly looked a little bit more crisp. So that's another piece of advice that I'd give you is, as you're working with this, if you notice that your font is really, really bad looking and not crisp and blurry, there's a couple of different various hacks that you can try out there. One is you scale up your font, or you set your font size really, really high, and then you set your scale size really low, and that'll bring it down and make it crisp. The problem with that is, as you start to do your window resizing, it can have really weird behaviors. So I personally try to stay away from that. Another one that people kind of talked about was Pixel Perfect. I think that works more with pixelated fonts than it does with it. It was another one I tried. And then I think there was another kind of weird little hacky way to do it. But really, they all were not the most efficient and had pretty adverse effects on them. So I, like I said, I would just try and find a font that looks like it's kind of rendering pretty well. And then you can still kind of layer some of those hacks on top if you want. Anyway, so that being said, I think I'll probably end up building this out or shifting the alignment of stuff a little bit more. But I mean, we ultimately have a few things that we're working at. So let's go back to the scene. Again, the more you zoom in, the worse it kind of ends up looking. So taking a look at our container, we have an image. This is where the image of our scriptable object that we defined in the last one, last episode, is going to go. Then we have just the name of the item, the description of the item, and then we have this currency section. So basically, this is just a game object that has a list, and inside the list, we've got the vertical layout groups, so the same thing that we just went over before. And then inside of that list, we have currency definition. And currency definition, as you can see, is actually another prefab item. In fact, when I go to work with this, I'll delete the one that I have in here off of the store item container prefab, so that we have kind of a blank starting point. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to loop through all of the items that the merchant has, list them, and then loop through all of the individual items' currency and list those on their associated items. So we'll basically do just kind of two loops to populate it. And so the currency definition just has the notion of an image, which we've defined again with our scriptable objects, and then the amount that it costs. So for every currency that exists in the data, we're going to add one onto the UI using that template. And that's might not make the most amount of sense right now. It'll make a lot more sense in the next episode as we start to go and hook these things up. And you kind of see the flow. So just taking a quick look, I want to make sure that there's no components that I use that we haven't talked about. Actually, we didn't talk about this one. So let's talk about it on this upper one. So I also used layout element. This component is also super helpful in that you can override the size of a layout element. So basically what I've done is I've said, hey, your minimum height is 130. You will not go any less than that. So that's basically your min height and your min width is what it must meet. And then your minimum or preferred are basically, hey, if there's more space, not your minimum or your preferred. Your preferred is, hey, if there's more space after the min stuff has been allocated, go through and allocate my preferred height on top of that. And then the flexible width and flexible height is basically it's like a third stage. It's, hey, if min has been allocated and preferred has been allocated, do my flexible next. So that being said, the way that you actually define it, so min, the min width and the min height, you're defining in regular units. Oh, actually, that's your min and your preferred are regular units. And then your flexible size is relative units. So basically, what that means is any amount that's greater than zero when you go to define it, means that any space that's left will be allocated. So usually you just either see zero or not checked, or one, and zero means don't do anything, and one means just figure out what you're gonna do and go do it. So that component is super handy. Let's see, we've done image, we did text, I think that was actually it. And then I didn't do anything weird with them. So I think the last thing that we're gonna do is take a look at how we can kind of theme this this UI scroll view. So if we come back to our scroll view, actually, let me show you something. I think I didn't do the padding stuff, I missed that. So I'm just adding a whole bunch. You can kind of see they're off the screen. If we push play, such a small window. I don't know if you can even see that. Yeah, this is a bug that we'll do. So even with the UI open and we go to click on it, she's getting her clicks to move. So you'll see her kind of moving around, but we'll address that in the next video. So you can see we can kind of scroll. If I go back to the scroll view, you have different settings that you can do. You'll notice something interesting happened though. When we're not in play mode, we have both bars here. When we are in play mode, we don't have the bottom one, we only have the top. That's because we have it set to auto hide and expand. So technically this one here wouldn't be here if we didn't have enough items to fill the content. So that's kind of some of the settings that I was mentioning earlier that you can go through and mess with. The other is the movement type. I think this affects kind of the overall, whereas Elastic has like a weird effect to it. So you can just kind of go through and mess with the settings just to make sure that you're getting, I think Clamp doesn't let you do that. What I just did with that weird movement like this. So really just, we're gonna stick with Clamped. I just recommend that you kind of walk through and play with a lot of these settings because it's just gonna be very scenario oriented on what it is that you're trying to build out. Okay, so first thing that we wanna do, I actually wanna shut off the image altogether. So that all we really have is these one indented. So I mean, really technically I could delete this whole area. Actually, let's just do that, that's gone. So again, it's kind of that panel thing where I like to have the background panel to see the space that I'm working in, but when I'm done, if it's not needed, you can just get rid of it. The other thing is I want a vertical scroll bar, excuse me, I cannot talk. But I do not want a horizontal, so we can just delete that out and then it will zero it out on its own. And then the last thing is you can dive into the sliding area. Actually, let me go scene and change the coloring. You can actually change the images too. So if you've got some fancy little scroll images for your bar, you can also do that as well. Because really it's just, again, it's an image component that has like a scroll bar component tied to it. So to change the image, we really just need to find a color that we like. Where are we? I don't know why. You know, it's funny, when I'm on my home computer, Unity does not do this. I'm totally lost on what I'm looking. Oh, I see. We're still going to the left. Oh, geez. All right, we'll just pick a color because I can't find it. The one I post out, I'm going to fix these layout issues. And then we'll have a little bit of better coloring. But you can basically, so that first one kind of colors the background. And then the handle is the one that's going to basically color this thing that will grow and expand. Oh, it's going to do the same color picker. I do that a lot, I guess. But yeah, so you can kind of have that. The other thing, or the last thing that I wanted to talk about was the padding stuff. So if we go under scroll view, coming back to this vertical layout group. So this allows you to really define how each thing tiles down. So you can define the padding, and this is, you can see, I'm gonna go with big numbers so you can kind of see what's happening. So the padding is really that same thing that we kind of described before when the rect transform had top, left, right, and bottom, I think it was. Padding's the same thing where you're defining the space in between, can be super helpful in some scenarios. And then spacing, pretty good to show. So spacing is the amount of space between each element. So again, if we'll go like drastically big numbers, even though 10 is really not that drastic of a number, you can see that it spaced out each one. So it's basically padding or meh, not padding. I don't know, maybe padding or margin. I always get those two confused. But it's the set of amount in between each one. So you can really use both of these to create like a decent look. So in fact, I think we're gonna go 5, although I don't need it because I didn't pull that out. But I wanna bring it in from this bar a bit. So I'll do 8, 0, 0, and then we'll just do a 5 for spacing. So I just want like a little subtle space. And then these are all set and we're good. So that was a very, very kind of quick and dirty run through of really of the UI stuff. So like I said, the project, I'll fix some of this padding stuff. I think I'd gone through and made it look a little bit better, and then I had a wrong version on this laptop, so this looks a little off. But I'll fix this so this stuff is aligned. In fact, I think one of the things, I'm definitely on an older version. I actually did it so that we had an image inside of an image. So this top image is the container, and then inside of that is basically another image component that's brought in by like 3 pixels, I think it was, so that we still have this cool little indent effect when we go to lay on the actual image that's tied to the object. So the hierarchy, unfortunately, is going to be a little different compared to what you're seeing here, but again, nothing different compared to the techniques and things that we've just gone over. The last piece of advice that I guess I'll leave you with is I found that UI stuff is very often trial and error in terms of getting it to look right. The UI elements and components and things that you see were introduced, I think it was Unity like 4.6, which I know I think we're on 5.5 or 5.6 right now. I think 5.6 is in beta. So I know that that's quite a few versions away, but it still has some areas and problems, I guess, with it. So it's a lot better than how things were. I used to have to draw all of your UI with code, which you can still do with like the GUI stuff, and you'll see in some scenarios that'll be common. But like I said, it ends up being kind of trial and error and playing around to figure out what works right, and then the text is probably the biggest problem that I've encountered when trying to design out the UI stuff. So yeah, I think that is it. Thank you guys for joining me. Sorry for, I guess I'm not sorry, but I kind of hit you with a lot of information. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out on the GitHub. The challenge for this episode is to come up with a store design using the techniques that we talked about that that kind of resonates with you. So I'll admit this one's not that great, but it kind of gets the... It serves its purpose in that we're going to have a couple of things to loop through and we'll be able to populate the data. So hopefully that'll kind of arm you with the information to go and build out an inventory and store system that you want to build out. So the things that I recommend is if you do kind of go and design this, to try and have an image element so that you can follow along in the next episode as we work with sprites. And then the currency listing type stuff, if you've built out the scriptable object stuff to match that, then build that out. If you went a whole different direction with your scriptable object in the definition of our item stuff in the last episode, then you'll want to redesign this one so that you have the same properties that you want to have surfaced to the person that are being tracked here. So like I said, everything will be posted out on GitHub, and then in the next episode, we'll start to hook everything up. Thanks, guys.